on radio, online and on mobile. This is Sports World on the BBC World Service.
This is Sports World on the BBC World Service, and for the remainder of the programme, we're going to be reflecting on the London Paralympics of 2012. The International Paralympic Committee President, Sir Philip Craven, described London 2012 as the best games in history. And the athletes at the Paralympics drew sold-out crowds. There were 80,000 there for every session at the Olympic Stadium, attracting more than a billion television viewers worldwide. It was a celebration of Paralympic sport and arguably the greatest 2 weeks for disability sport.
De Toy gets close to the lane rope and she is going to win her 13th career goal.
And a little bit of history. Sarah Storey equals the modern British Paralympic record with her 11th gold medal.
Peacock got a good start. Alan Oliveira got a terrible one. It is Brown of America challenging the Briton. Peacock for Great Britain, followed by Brown of the United States. As he pours on the pressure and goes 40 metres clear, Pistorius wins. It's gold again. And how fitting that the greatest Paralympic games of all time should draw to a close with victory for one of the greatest Paralympic athletes of all time.
Can it really be 3 months since I was in the Olympic Stadium watching Oscar Pistorius win that 400 metres race? Incredible moments from an incredible games. The Paralympics in London brought disability sport into the spotlight, raising the profile. But will it have a lasting legacy? Will it make any long-term difference? The sports journalist for the London Daily Telegraph, Gareth Davis, who's covered multiple Paralympic Games, is with me on Sports World. Gareth, from your point of view, compared to other games, what was it like in London?
Well, I've got to confess, I'm sitting here with tears rolling down my cheeks right now, just listening to that montage of yours, and that's genuinely, I'm sitting here in your studio in London. I've been to 5 games, summer games and a couple of winter games, and started in Atlanta in 96. And truly, truly, I say that these games were beyond the wildest imaginings, both for the athletes, I think for the British public, who within 48 hours had embraced it fully and understanding it, what it was all about. Because there's a kind of tangential kind of understanding with the Paralympic Games. And on a personal level, it was just the highlight of my career. And I would like to add, we heard Mike Costello, your athletics correspondent, speaking just then. Mike came to me after the games and said, "Chum, you were right, you know. It's absolutely incredible. I almost enjoyed it more than the Olympics." Our athletics correspondent at The Telegraph, Simon Hart, just saw him the other day. He said, "You know, I enjoyed it more." And our racing correspondent, Marcus Armitage, who won the Grand National, Mr. Frisk, did all the equestrian events. And the last thing he wrote on the games was, "I will swim to Rio and I will cover it for free."
I think that just echoes from conversations I had at the Paralympics as well, how we all felt about it. The atmosphere that we witnessed in the stadiums, in the aquatic centre, at all the events that I was lucky enough to go along to. I'd certainly go along with those views, Gareth. Let's also talk to someone who got to experience what it was like to be on the track and to feel that support that the crowd gave the athletes in London. The United States sprinter April Holmes has broken world records over the 100, 200 and 400 metres, won gold in Beijing, a bronze in London in the T44, and was my guest back at the Olympic Stadium, April. It was a pleasure to have you alongside me then, and a pleasure to say hello to you once again.
Thank you so much. It's definitely a pleasure and an honour to be here and to be able to talk to you again about such a magnificent experience in London. I don't think I've ever been part of something that's so electric. I don't think I've been a part of something that's so, I guess, so personal. There were so many athletes that were whose name you knew. There were so many athletes whose name was chanted inside of that stadium. So to know that, you know, we got that as athletes, that we got that type of support from the fans, from the crowd, from the people there in London, and also from the cheers that we heard around the world. I don't think I've ever seen or witnessed something so special, and I am more than blessed and more than honored to have been part of it.
And Gareth, I mean, April makes that point there. Was there any doubt that this would happen? Did you think that London would embrace the Paralympic Games in this way?
I always said, going into these games, I said to so many people, I even tried to say to lots of businesses, get involved, because when it's gone, you'll regret not being involved in this. The most amazing thing, as I said just now about the British public embracing it, 2.7 million tickets sold. That's the big difference. What we finally had, what the difference people make in bringing their energy to it is it becomes sports entertainment. And that was the big change in these Paralympic Games from what I've witnessed. I'm very inspired by Paralympians. I cover boxing and cage fighting as well, and it's the same spirits that I'm witnessing. And the amazing thing, Paralympics this time, and it was the greatest ever because it crossed over finally into sports entertainment.
We've got Rio has got some work then to follow. We'll be in Rio in just a moment to hear from Alan Oliveira, one of the stars of the Games, the 200 metres gold medalist, beat Oscar Pistorius memorably, of course, in that race. But April, what has life been like since the Games then for you? Have things really changed, do you think?
You know, I have always been a person that has been involved heavily in my community. In fact, I'm sitting in my church as we speak right now, getting ready to feed some homeless and some underprivileged kids and families and kind of give some toys away as the Christmas holiday is upon us. And I get out a lot and do different service things. I believe in giving back to your community. Is the more and more you've been blessed, I believe you're supposed to bless other people. And so, getting out and doing different things, whether speaking at schools, I speak to a lot of corporations in terms of, trying to educate them about Paralympics, trying to motivate them wherever they are in their lives to kind of push toward their dreams. And that's one thing I can honestly say that, losing my leg about 10 years ago, I had no idea what Paralympics were, what Paralympics was about. And the more and more I got a chance to get around the country, the more and more I got a chance to get around the world and to see that my life and what I was doing, as well as other athletes, that we were inspiring the world. Mm. And that was, I guess, none more evident than the Games in London. I believe it really, really started with Beijing, because I believe Beijing kind of set the bar really, really high. With their showmanship, and London was not to be outdone at all. Okay. They said, hey, listen, this is what Beijing did. We have to come and do better. And I believe they deserve an A-plus for doing much better.
And just on a point there, April, before we hear from Alan Oliveira, does the United States, though, need to do more? Was the disappointing aspect, I suppose, of the Games that it maybe didn't get the coverage that it deserved back in the United States?
I believe in the United States, we saw so much Olympic coverage. I mean, the Olympics were on from the time you woke up to well past the time, almost like 24-hour Olympic coverage. That's what I believe we saw. Whether it was live or whether it was tape delayed, we saw about 24 hours every day of Olympic coverage. And then you get to, to a point of Paralympics, and it's something as an entire world that I believe we struggle from. And it's getting much better in terms of educating people about what they're watching. And so, the more and more you educate people, the more and more people want to see, because, they see that we are athletes, that we train, that we go through the same training schedule and cycle and things as Olympic athletes do. So should our coverage have been much greater in the United States? Absolutely. There, without a shadow of a doubt, should have been better. But I think it's a problem around the world. That coverage for the Paralympic athlete should be equal to that of the Olympic Games, because again, we're athletes. We train as the same amount. We go through the same thing in life, and so we should be given equal treatment. So I know in the States here we got about, I think it's like an hour show a day, I believe it was.
Sure.
And then it was a 2-hour recap show kind of after the Games were over. A bunch of our families were very, very supportive and, kind of going on the internet and following what the IPC was doing, because I believe the IPC did a marvelous job of broadcasting the Games.
Okay.
But we need to do it without a shadow of a doubt. We need to do a much better job here in the States.
Okay, Gareth, just briefly.
I'm very critical of America's coverage of the Paralympics. I went to Atlanta and it was appalling. And I think April is being very diplomatic, frankly. And I think April's a brilliant athlete. I've interviewed her before. She's a brilliant woman. And I think she should be out there smacking heads together and telling the Americans they failed at the Paralympic Games. It's not enough coverage. It's really not enough coverage. And it goes back several games where they do not send enough journalists to the games either. That's part of the problem. NBC need their knuckles wrapped.
April, are you going to bang those heads together?
Hey, listen, man. I'm out in the street doing everything I can. It's not just April that needs to do it. I'm just one athlete, and obviously I've been given an awesome platform, and I think that comes with success. But I believe you also with success, you are also it's also your responsibility to fight for things like such as, you know, hey, we need better coverage in the United States. Mm. There's no reason in the world why, you know, we're in London. It's like 24-hour coverage of the Paralympic Games also. And we come back to the United States and we see 1 hour. That's not fair. It's not fair to the athletes. It's not fair to the American people. And so I believe we do. We do. We definitely
you
do.
You go and bash those heads together. I'm sure you're the woman to do that. Definitely. We've got lots to get through. We're going to go to Sierra Leone to find out what the coverage and what the impact has been like on the Paralympic Games. So I want to take you to Brazil now, because Alan Oliveira, the 200-metre gold medalist, one of the faces of the London Games, he said that he proved the Paralympics are now on a par with the Olympics. He congratulated London, but hopes, of course, that Rio can do even better. He told the BBC's Dan Rowan how his life has changed since London 2012 and his excitement and anticipation for the next Games in his own country.
Everything changed. The recognition that I got, the compliments that I received from lots of people from Brazil. I was very happy to see people being proud of me and say they were proud of being Brazilian. And it represented a lot to Brazil, and this recognition makes me very happy, and I think it also helps to value a Paralympic sport.
How exciting is it, how big is it for Alan that the Paralympics are now coming to his own home country of Brazil in 4 years?
It's a very big happiness that the Games are coming to Brazil, that all the people, all the fans will be cheering for them here, will be stimulating them. It's a great incentive to have all this energy from the public. He felt that from the public in London in 2012, that people were singing the anthem, and he got goosebumps from seeing that people were singing the anthem and all this energy. And in 2016, it's going to be the Brazilian anthem being sung.
How big a moment was London for Paralympic sport? We had this incredible records of numbers of people who went to watch the Games, you know, full stadia. How, you know, these athletes then became celebrities in their own right. How big a moment was that for Paralympic sport, and how on earth can Rio achieve the same? Is it possible?
Nas Paralimpíadas de Londres mostrou-se que não tem a.
The Paralympics in London were very grand, and important to see that they were as grand as the Olympics. So that London left this legacy that it wasn't just one different than the other. They both Olympics and Paralympics have the same structure and the same importance. So he congratulates London for that and hopes that the same will happen in Brazil, that people will have the same effort to make a big event here, and that Brazil will be able to host the best Paralympics in 2016, not just because it's in Brazil, but he hopes it will be the best Paralympics. He believes that the population will be very engaged for participating and cheering for all the athletes.
Não por ser no Brasil, mas espero que seja a população está bastante empenhada para participar.
The thoughts of Alan Oliveira. A couple of goals to tell you about. Liverpool lead Fulham by a goal to nil in the English Premier League. Martin Skrtel. Xavi has scored for Barcelona. They lead Valladolid by a goal to nil. They're just approaching half-time in Spain. April Holmes is with me, the United States sprinter. Gareth Davis, the sports journalist, also with me on Sports World. April, what's the next step then? I was in Bayer Leverkusen in Germany last weekend with Heinrich Popov, the gold and bronze medalist from London. It's a sports mad city over there. We were talking with many of Germany's medal winning Paralympians and athletes there, training together, able-bodied athletes with Paralympians. They say that has made the difference. You train as well with Olympic athletes, don't you, April? Is that now what should happen? Is that what you just think will be the norm now after these Games?
I believe all Paralympic athletes deserve inclusion to their comfort level, I guess. Obviously, there are some instances in where some Paralympic athletes cannot train with Olympic athletes. But as it is comfortable and as it is applicable, I believe Paralympic athletes should and deserve to train with Olympic athletes. And the thing about what I believe about Paralympic athletes in coaching is or shall I say Olympic athletes in coaching, is that they have the greatest coaches. So why, if you know you're a Paralympic athlete, why shouldn't you be allowed to go train with some of the greatest coaches, as opposed to saying, okay, well, you know, here's our Paralympic coaches and here's our Olympic coaches, and our Paralympians stay over on the left side and our Olympians stay over on the right side. I've trained again with Olympic athletes probably since I've lost my leg, and I've also had some of the greatest Olympic coaches, and they are people that I want to chase after. They're faster than I am, and they're people that I want to chase after, and that's what I want to do. So I train with Olympic athletes all day long.
And Gareth, any concerns? Alan Oliveira is saying how much he's looking forward to Rio, and we hope it will build on what has happened in Beijing and London. But are there concerns?
I don't think there are, really. I think that I'm a member of the IOC Press Commission. I went out to Sochi in November where the organising committee for Rio gave us a presentation. I can't reveal the details, of course, but Chatham House rules and all that. It looks like a phenomenal thing they're putting together over there. And given the passion that Brazilians have and how lively they are and how beautiful they are as people, I think they'll embrace it maybe even more than we did. But one of the things that, you know, Al Joyner obviously coaches April. And one of the things that this is the world service, the world's listening to this, that one of the things that we're quite advanced in Britain, in America they are as well. They've got, you know, Dan Pfaff, for example, the UK athletics coach, brought Johnny Peacock through. And we all know Johnny now, who is the 100-metre Paralympic champion. Mm. And we've got Alan, who's involved in this kind of huge blades row with Oscar Pistorius, which will be an amazing part of Brazil in 2016. But around the world, there isn't parity. And I think to step outside the pure sport for a moment. I mean, I did a few interviews during the games with... We spoke to Nathalie Jean-Louise from Haiti. And he was saying how in certain countries, and I'm sure April is well aware of this, disabled people aren't treated the same way when they go to the market. And the brilliant man, Rafael Ngebe Boitsio, I hope I said that right, a Ghanaian, who was the captain of the men's, captain of the, who was an athlete, a Paralympic racer, captain of the Ghanaian team, how that there are still feelings in Africa that some people are cursed when they have polio or disabilities. And those, you know, we need to broaden out the way that the perception is. You know, we're growing in the UK, it's strong in America, but it's around the world that
Well, let's hear from Sierra Leone now. Let's go to Africa and find out whether attitudes to disability have changed as a result of London 2012.
Driving through Freetown, you see many disabled people. 70% of them in Sierra Leone, according to a survey, don't have access to income. So little wonder many turn to begging or minding cars to get by, taking physical disability onto the streets. Paralympian Mohamed Camara became disabled during his country's civil war when he was captured by rebel fighters. He takes up the story when at age 11, after seeing his mother killed in front of him, the rebels told him they would now chop off his hand.
When I put my hands in the big stick, I see the other guy came from the back with the machete, the cutlass, chop the hand. As soon as I chop the hands, see him. I'm not talking with that moment. I'm starting bleeding. I see my hand fighting. I see the finger playing because this is very shock when they chop my hand.
I am Abdul Karim Sise, President Sierra Leone Athletics Association.
And he recalls the first time he met Mohamed arriving to compete with able-bodied athletes.
You know, in fact, some people are laughing and say, what is this man coming to do here? Fortunately for him, when he took part to those able-bodied men, he came second. I was surprised. I said, what? I called him. Young man, where did he say? No, I decided to just take part. So I said, we have a potential.
Mohamed continued to train with able-bodied runners, partly because in Sierra Leone, there's virtually no provision for disabled athletes. His endeavour led him to London, as his country's only representative and only the second in its history. He cut a lonely figure, but back in Freetown, those watching on television, like human rights activist Valnora Edwin, were excited.
When we saw Sierra Leone, even my cousin in England, she sent me a text message, have you seen us, have you seen us? And we were all shouting, even my kids, they were all saying, wow, look at the Sierra Leone flag, look at the Sierra Leone flag. And you know, I was so impressed with Mohamed, and this is what we want to see. We want to see Sierra Leoneans representing Sierra Leone internationally.
Campaigners at Leonard Cheshire Disability International believe that away from sport, they're making some progress, citing a first disabled parliamentarian, the first disabled police officers, and last year, Parliament passing a Disability Rights Act.
Welcome, Martin, to Lena Cheshire Disability. This is the West Africa Regional Office, based in Freetown. You are most welcome.
Osman Barr is the regional manager.
You fill in the necessary details, who you have been here to see, etc., etc.
So, and how is Paralympic fever translated in Freetown?
I mean, when I watch them over the television and see the energy and see what they use, it's amazing. You think if you could give us those chairs that we would be able to compete, do you think we can't do it? But you show me, since you came to Sierra Leone, whether you've seen one disabled wheelchair, sporting wheelchair. It's not here. You don't see it. So what's our chances in the Paralympics?
The Flying Stars amputee football team is in full song on the beach. The outfield players use crutches. The rules allow a goalkeeper to have two legs, but only one arm. And it's become athlete Mohamed Kamara's second sport. His teammates are proud of their goalkeeper's Olympic participation, but Mohamed was disappointed that after the fervour and noise of the London Games, he returned to a disinterested media.
Since I came from London, I don't have any receipt from a journalist, I don't have any press conference from journalists. To know about me, to know about my participation in London, I don't have any.
What would you say to those in charge of disabled sport in Sierra Leone?
The minister needs to do something about the athletics in this country, even the Paralympic athletes. 2014 is coming closer to get to Scotland. We need scholarship. That's why you cannot see somebody came from Sierra Leone, go over there and partake and say that this person is going to improve or came with a medal. It's not easy because these guys, they have training camp for 1 year and 6 months to get to the competition. But Sierra Leone, they have any facility of scholarship.
The man in charge of athletics in Sierra Leone, Abdul Karim Cisse, agrees that the country could aim higher and produce more competitors for the next Paralympics.
I want at least 10 to represent this country in the next Paralympic Games. We are aiming, I want to bring as many as 50 or so, but those who actually make the mark, we should not have below 10.
It's food for thought in a country which is rich in natural resources, including recently discovered oil. Progress is being made in terms of disability rights and schemes to support disabled people finding work. But as the taxi pulls away, again we move between the outstretched hands of Freetown's disabled beggars.
The View from Sierra Leone with Martin Davis. April Holmes, Gareth Davis are with me. Just a final thought from both of you. We've talked about training together. What about competing together? London in 2017 will host the Athletics World Championships, the World Paralympic Track and Field. April, should the events now come together?
I'm so at a toss, but I believe they should. I mean, why host two different events? Why have two different crowds? People at the end of the day just want to see sport. They want to see the pureness of sport. And I believe if we are athletes training and we would like to showcase our talents and give the people what they ask for. So I think we should overcome whatever stipulations we have as people and come together and put on a fantastic show and display of athleticism.
Gareth, you got 10 seconds, I'm afraid.
No, separate events. We're witnessing the triumph of the human spirit, which inspires passion and transforms perception. That's what it is.
On radio, online and on mobile, this is Sports World on the BBC World Service.